BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Gary Morgan. With me, as always, my good friend, Jim Stamm. How you doing, brother? Hopefully you're doing pretty good, Jim. Jim has locked up right away.
Am I here?
You're here now. Yeah. What an inauspicious start for us today.
Yeah, we're running a couple minutes late. My internet is doing internet things, but this is a special show, Gary. It's a leap year, leap day show. We've got some concerns, but we're going to try not to jump to any conclusions, if you catch my drift.
That's true. And really, a lot of players, in order for this thing to be a success, have to take a leap this year. So, I mean, it's a perfect culmination of a lot of things having this show today.
It's called a segue, Gary.
Yeah, a good segue. So we got a pretty cool poll question we're going to talk about. I think that's going to be fun. And as Douglas says here in the chat, happy Skeens Day. That's what we're going to start talking about, is Paul Skeens making his spring debut today, even though none of us could see it.
Right.
You know, MLB, in their infinite wisdom, you know, is planning on having the All-Star game between these prospect levels on the 14th, called by Helen Keller, because, you know, they don't care whether we can hear or see anything. That was insane to me. There was four of the last five number one overall picks in that game. MLB was all over social media promoting it, and MLB did absolutely nothing to make sure people could watch it. I'll never understand this league. I'll never, ever understand it. To me, best sport in the world, absolute worst league in the world. It really is.
And that's saying something with the way the NHL does things. If you can top, if you can top them at bad, you're doing something good, I guess. I don't. Yeah, it was frustrating. Like, I mean, you know, the first thing I wondered was, man, I wonder if this was Yankees Dodgers. With that kind of lineup going today, if they really wouldn't have found a way of Pirates, Orioles, we'll just talk them up on social media, and everyone else can figure it out from there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the whole story there. All I know is that it was really irritating to me, and I just think, like, when you're talking about, like, how hard they're working to promote the future stars of this game, to not have that on TV was just insane to me.
Right.
We were blessed to have people from North Shore 9 there, and Josh from Bridge to Bucktober was there, and Pirates Prospects was there. You know, so there was a lot of different people, like, showing some video of it. The Pirates put out some video of it, which made me almost more frustrated, because you've clearly got high def video equipment there. Yeah. What are we doing?
and obviously there's, like, you know, they didn't schedule this game and blah, blah, blah. We get all that. It's just still frustrating. Hey, maybe whenever they do the doubleheader here, when you get down there in spring training with the Orioles, maybe you'll run into something good again. But maybe one of those games are televised. I don't remember looking at the schedule if it was. So
it should be. I believe it's on TV, but I also won't care. I'll be there, you know, so I'm not going to be engaged with everybody complaining about it. That said, let's talk about this game as best we can. Basically, from what we know, Paul Skeens put in a good inning. He hit 102 on the gun. That's another thing. They didn't even bother having StatCast for this game.
Right.
I can't fathom how you could not have StatCast with Paul Skeens on the mound facing Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and
Jackson Holliday.
It's like, how in the world do you not, and Henry Davis, you know, I'd love to know the exit velocity on that home run that he roped to center field. That I don't know.
Yeah. Even if you would have had some dumpy camera angle that like you get on minor league games, sometimes anything would have been better than what we got.
Yeah. And like Michael says, you know, too many games already haven't been televised. He's right. Early season, they tend to do that. You know, early in the spring, they tend to not have a whole lot of televised games. And I normally get it. But in this case, I don't know. It just feels like there's so many top prospects. Let's just say I care more now that the Pirates have a bank of prospects I actually want to watch than I cared maybe 4 years ago when it was like, oh, gee, I hope I get to see those three at-bats from Phillip Evans.
Right.
So things have changed a little bit. Paul Skenes looked good from what I hear. And, you know, the video clips that I saw, you know, they looked pretty decent. You know, the movement looks good. Seemed to be fooling people. Adley Rutschman didn't get fooled. He took him deep. It just didn't go out. So,
yeah.
Good stuff all in all. It's what you want to see from him.
Encouraging to see the velocity where it was. Obviously, we look a lot at that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, look, Skenes will be here at some point. Don't know when. They only let him pitch an inning today. I might have liked to have seen one more out of him. So, but they're going to be super, super careful with him. They just are.
I would be shocked if we see another outing from him as a major league camper. To be completely honest with you, I think he'll probably sent back down first.
I think you might see one more out of him just because it was one inning, but no more than that. I would agree with you.
Right. All right. Henry Davis, obviously, power has shown up. Bat's shown up. He's hit this whole spring. And ultimately, that's why this whole catcher discussion is going to wind up being a big fat joke. Because the Pirates are just going out of their way to make sure that they don't say the words he's going to start or say the words that somebody is a starter. And I understand that completely. I just think that very often the Pirates create more problems by trying to talk around a subject than they do just attacking it.
Yeah.
To me, this is as simple as like, listen, it's a total competition. Obviously, we're going to bring Grandal up. You know, he's going to play. We're paying him. But let's not worry about all that until we see who's won what as the spring goes on. That's the best way to put it. We want to see what happens in the spring. Just
I don't think there's anything wrong with it's weird how they're avoiding certain words and terms when you could literally just say, hey, you know, we're going to let things play out in the spring. Henry's got a lot of ability. We brought Grandal in. He's going to play. But so is Henry, and we'll see how it all shakes out. I don't know why you can't say that, but apparently GMs and coaches can't get out of that mold even when it just doesn't seem there's no reason not to.
I mean, I get it. Like if I'm running a sales team, for instance, I may not tell everybody right then and there in the room that the guy who's got the sales lead is the best salesman in the room, and he's absolutely the one I'm going to say. You know what I mean? I want everybody else to work. I want Jason DeLay thinking he's got a real shot to make this team. I want Ali Sanchez thinking he's got a real shot to make this team. I want Abraham Gutierrez to hit a home run in a spring training game and go, all right, my chances are I'm at least above bins, right? You know,
it's a fair point to be. You want it to be as competitive as possible, and everyone thinking, you know, whether it's true or not, that there's a legitimate path to a position and a roster spot if you earn it.
And I'm going to say one more point here that Doug brings up here. The organization has no ability to speak to its fans. That's very true, Doug. That said, they haven't won. And while they're not winning, you're programmed to not want anything they say to come out clean. Yeah. Everything that guy says is, I mean, he could tell you that he prefers Hefty Bags over Glad. And 75% of this fan base would have a conniption fit. Like, he could tell you he likes Puffs more than Kleenex, and 75% of this fan base would hate it.
Well, you're not going to truly believe anything they say or take them at face value until they kind of prove otherwise. So, you know, that is what it is at this point.
Yep. Hey, let's take another quick break, Jim. And let's come back. Let's talk about basically just from the early part of spring here, who's impressed us and who has kind of piqued your interest and caught your eye. And then we'll start talking about your poll question, because I think that's going to take us through most of the rest of the show.
I think so, too.
But first, I have to cue up the ad because I'm woefully prepared for this show today. Sorry, guys. Here we go.
DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
All right, we're back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. We're going to talk a little bit about who we thought has looked good so far, Jim. Not just today, but really all of spring. People that have piqued our interest, I mean, I think we can kind of go back and forth one after the other, just naming guys. So I'll start. I would think my first one that has really impressed me so far is Henry Davis. I think behind the plate, I have seen no issues. Now, granted, only one of his performances has been on TV for me to see, but right. I haven't heard any coaches say anything negative. I haven't heard any players say anything negative. I haven't heard anything negative during the broadcast to make me feel that things have gone awry. Sounds like he's playing a pretty clean catcher, which is good. And he's hitting, like we said, he is hitting and he's hitting the ball hard. So I see absolutely nothing from Henry Davis to make me feel like there's any kind of threat he's going to AAA for any reason.
Yeah, I keep seeing people are concerned about that. I really think something weird would have to happen there. I just do not see it. I think if anything, he's going to hit enough this year to stay. And I am waiting to see some games with him behind the plate. I want to see that just so we can see it for, you know, give him a good 3-4 innings back there. I want to watch it consistently and consecutively.
I mean, we saw him today. He did well. I liked what he had to do. I mean, we didn't get to see it personally, but I mean, he did do it for a long time. And Jim just came back to life. So
I don't know what's going on, Gary. This is a hell of a show.
You don't need to even discuss it. Just I can ramble whenever you freeze, and that's what I just did. So your turn. Who's next for you? Who is the other guy that has piqued your interest? Anybody?
Well, I mean, let's talk about somebody who's not going to be here and shouldn't be, but is looking really, really good as Tamar Johnson, right? You know, yeah. What more can you ask from a kid? And he is a kid. You know, by all accounts,
phenom, right?
Yeah. You know, I think obviously this is the big thing with him is like, he's got some, the big flag with him still is like, he's got some swing and miss in the zone type issues. And I will tell you that anybody that wants him to just flat out start at this age with that issue still being in play with major league pitchers, the way that they can pound the zone, he's got to get that worked out. But clearly the ability is there. You don't do what he did the other day, two home runs off two legitimate major league starters, one or pitchers, one of those being lefty. That stuff's not real fluky. I mean, the ability is 100% there.
Not easy pitches to hit either. Slider, you know, down, out, down and over the plate. He went out and got from a lefty. high fastball, ripped the other one out, and he's hitting in general. So, I mean, like, it's not just the power. You have another hit today. So I really like the way he's played. I would say my next candidate would be Jack Brannigan. I've really liked what I've seen from Jack Brannigan. He's played shortstop and third base. He has done both cleanly. He's hitting the ball. I think he's putting a good wood on the bat, on the ball at least. And I like that. I was a little bit concerned about a couple things with Jack as far as strikeouts go and everything. I'm not seeing that. His approach at the plate looks a lot better than advertised.
Yeah. The strikeouts are obviously something you're going to have to watch with him. And getting a full minor league season here will be really, really important to see what kind of hitter he might be longer term. But yeah, I agree. I think he's been really impressive. And Gary, I'll talk about somebody that I know some people aren't concerned about, but I still have some reservations just because I want to see it again right away, is Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be part of our poll question too. But just the fact that he's looking like he might have picked up right where he left off is really, really kind of huge.
I thought key to that was he's pulling the ball again. And that was something that it just seemed like he couldn't do for the better part of last season until that last couple months. And then, you know, today for good measure, he hits one oppo. You know, so he's not changing his approach to the point where he's pulling everything in order to try to make sure he pulls something. So I think all indications for me are with Ke'Bryan Hayes, I think we're going to see this kid approach his ceiling this year. And that is exciting, you know, because
sure,
a lot of these guys coming on board like when they were kids. And you talk about their potential, and we're seeing that wave come again right now where you start seeing guys like Henry Davis. Well, Henry probably won't be to the height of his powers for another 2-3 years, most likely. That's when he'll become a veteran that comes in and he's expected to perform, and this is what he'll probably put on paper for you. Well, that's where we're at with Ke'Bryan Hayes now. This is the year where he can take that next leap, no pun intended, to be that peak of his ceiling.
He really needs to, you know. It's not just about hoping. It's just the fact that it's time for him to do it and put together a full season of offensively showing what he can do.
Right.
They really need it. They really need it.
I guess it's back to me, huh?
Let me ask you this. Let's just go. I'm just going to throw a name out to you, and you tell me your reaction to what was a very anticipated initial outing for him is Rowanzi.
Yeah, Rowanzi, I think, was very clearly working on throwing high fastballs. So I didn't take anything from his stat line. The velocity is where you want it for him. You know, I keep hearing like Idayon in particular, he keeps talking about that he used to hit 98 and whatnot. He used to hit 98, but not in game. Like in game, he's been 96, 95. So
right.
I'm very happy to see in game 96, 95 again for Rowanzi. That's where you want him. I don't think his breaking stuff looked very sharp, but it's super early in spring to be like worrying about that all that much. All in all, I think it was a positive first outing for him. He's got another one coming up here, I believe, tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. It's either tomorrow or the next day. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And that should be a progression for him, should be another step in his development here this year. And I think he's probably the leader in the clubhouse for one of those remaining slots in the rotation, at least.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was a mixed bag, to be quite honest, is how I saw it. You know, obviously, the fact that he looked you don't want him to come out looking like he did at the end of last year when he was playing. So that didn't happen. So you can at least build off that. Location wasn't great. His off-speed stuff was a little bit flat and not a lot of bite to things. But, you know, can he build off of it? I hope so. I don't think anybody realistic was just going to expect to go and see this night and day different pitcher from where he was last year.
I don't even know how you're taking that. And the reason I say that, you had Bichette, Guerrero, like leading off that game, two of the best high fastball hitters in the league going right now. And they intentionally had that kid who struggled last year come out and throw 7 or 8 out of 10 pitches as high fastballs to these guys. There's no scouting. They knew he was going to get hit. They just want to challenge him to throw that fastball up there. And he got some soft contact with it.
I was just going to say that he didn't have the best luck either with some flares.
Point being, they challenged him to do something that they knew wasn't going to be good. You know, because in spring, you're trying to work on stuff. You're not trying to get outs. You want them, but you want him to be working on that high fastball. That's what they tasked him with doing. Throw the high fastball. And he did. You know, I think he could have given up 7 runs and I wouldn't have felt any different. And I truly
mean that. Yeah. I don't really care about the results of it. Truthfully, whenever I'm watching these spring training games, I mean, it's great. You see someone hit a home run or strike out a couple guys, but yeah, you are trying to watch just to see how they're executing what they're attempting to do.
And it's a hard thing to ask a typical fan to do. And what I mean by typical fan is like most people aren't watching spring training games. Really. I know that people watching this show, that's probably a large percentage of you are, but most fans aren't watching that. They're looking at the box score and Rwanzi stunk. If you look at the box score, he just straight up stunk.
I think a lot of people watch baseball in general. And I think we all do this to an extent. It's just trying to teach yourself to watch it a different way, which is, you know, 2 for 4 is great, but if they're both, you know, crack bat bloopers, will you take it? Absolutely. Is it indicative of anything moving forward? It's just not.
I mean, we appreciate the lesson, Kevin Newman, but now we know. Yeah. All right, I got to throw one out for you now. How about O'Neill Cruz? Because I think first he's shown that he isn't completely made of glass. He's had some awkward moments already, like catching balls in weird positions. Looked today like I sounded anyway from listening to Greg Brown bring it up 50,000 times on the broadcast that he was pulling it as oblique, which scared the crap out of me.
Everybody.
But then he came out and, you know, struck the single and he looked fine. You know, 2 for 3 today. He seems to be putting good swings on balls. Seems to be patient still. He seems to be taking pitches that he has no business swinging at instead of trying to golf things out opposite field. And I don't know ultimately what that'll do to him, but the important thing with O'Neill is he healthy? I think he's healthy.
I got to be honest. You know, you can either reinforce my belief here, or maybe you have a different take. A lot of people seemed really worried about his health. I'm really not. I think at his age, with as much time as he's had to rehab it, guys have had far worse injuries. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I really just don't. I think if he struggles, it's not going to be because of an injury.
I don't think it would be why he struggles, but I think it could be why he isn't able to play nearly as much as you'd like for a superstar. You know, I think he is going to run into soreness issues, and I think he is going to have to sit, and I think he is going to have to DH here and there just to give himself a break during the season. I don't see him playing 130 games at shortstop this year. I think they'll give him
breaks. Probably not.
I think they'll give him breaks quite a bit, and I think that leg has a lot to do with that plan.
Yeah, it's not that he won't have to still adjust to the rigors of playing every day with it. But as far as him re-injuring it or something of that nature, I'm not concerned about that. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be rusty to start with, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I'm actually pleasantly surprised by the lack of rust that I think I've seen. He's putting good swings on balls and seems to be doing what he wants with them, which I think takes a lot longer to have happen than he's shown. So he's probably worked very hard this whole off season. It's good. There's no cure for it. He has to face live hitting. He has to play games, and that's really the only thing that's going to create that confidence. Let's talk about some people that maybe haven't performed, huh? Unless you got a few more pitchers, I guess we could talk about Braxton Ashcraft. I thought he was great. Jared Jones. Yeah,
both of them have looked really, really good. Not sure where they fit into the, you know, near-term plans, but it's what you want to see from some of these guys, right? Some of these younger guys that they're going to have to rely on sooner or later.
Right. And I would have to say, I think Jared Jones is probably, I had him ahead of Paul Skeens as far as like guys I would see getting called up, like from that echelon, you know, of high prospects that aren't on the 40. I would put him ahead of Paul Skeens. I'd probably leave him ahead of Paul Skeens after what I've seen. I think his stuff is electric. I mean, absolutely electric. That kid's scary. The biggest fright with Jones is, does he have the stuff and the stamina to be a starter?
Right.
And there's no way to find that out without seeing. But that kind of stuff, that arm, whew.
Yeah, you wonder physically if he can hold up as a starter, just because of you know, frame wise and whatnot. But I mean, even just the feedback we got from the other day and looking at the peripherals on his stuff, he looked really, really good. I mean, yeah.
There's not a lot to be upset about. Ashcraft is a guy who's never pitched a lot because he's been injured most of his career. So this year, they'll look to stretch him out. I expect him to start in AA. I bet he's in AAA before the end of the year. The stuff is crazy. His issue's always been staying on the field. So if he stays on the field, he'll move. And I think if they decided they wanted to call him a bullpen arm right now, he'd be there this year. That's how good I think his stuff is.
I think he could. I think they'll probably try to be a little careful with him because, as you mentioned, there have been some issues with injuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might dictate a lot how they might see him even distributing his workload in the minors this year.
Right.
So.
And Shengshe Sheng has been pretty good. I like what he's done. He's hit home run. He's hit period. And he's played really good defense as advertised. Worth every bit of that 40-man spot that he took up.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is you can see why he's got one of those spots. You wouldn't dare leave someone like that unprotected or to be plucked. So, really good showing for him. I mean,
yep.
Not a lot of experience under his belt, obviously. So, look, a lot of the young guys have looked pretty good that they're going to need. So I think that's the biggest positive so far early on, is some of these young guys have looked pretty good, like they belong.
Yeah. So let's do some negatives, because, you know, there's never really any positives without negatives. I don't want to do like expected negatives. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, hey, Billy McKinney hasn't looked good. Well, who cares? Like, you know, and plus he did fine today. He had a hit.
Yeah.
I think Gilberto Celestino, if he had any faint hope of making this team, I don't see it now. He got a hit today, but I just haven't seen much from him. It good center fielder, it looks like. Just, I'm not sure that's enough.
No. And don't think Jack has looked particularly good. I know he had another rough day today. I think he made a good play in the field.
Couple K's again. Yeah, that and it seemed like they were K's looking again, which, you know, is kind of a problem he had last year. You'd really love to see him have worked on and eliminate. That's something to keep an eye on. It's way too early to be making a judgment that, oh, he showed up and he's doing the same thing. I think that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on, because if he's going to continue to take that strike, it's eventually going to catch up with him.
Yeah. And overall, just looking at the outfield, still kind of sorting that whole thing out. There's a lot to be sorted out, I think.
I was going to go into Oliveras next, because
yeah,
Oliveras has not impressed me. Now, I like his swing. I like some of the stats that he put down for Kansas City. He's got a little bit of a track record. He's probably going to make this team, whether I think he's good or not.
I think he will make the team.
I have just not been impressed. And I don't know what it is about him, but you ever just watch a guy play and you're just like, yeah, no, I don't see it. Mm-hmm. I feel that way when I watch Oliveras play. I just don't see it. I don't know what it is that's missing, but it is not there.
You know, to be fair, just like for pitchers, it's early. Some guys just don't look good at the beginning of spring or the season. I'll tend to agree with you in the sense of, I don't get blown away by anything that I see. But it's early. I do think he's going to make the team, because quite frankly, I'm not sure they have an idea of how it's going to shake out. I don't.
Palacios hasn't even played yet because he's hurt. So,
well, you got we've got some things going on there, right? We got Palacios, Kutch,
who also hasn't played because they're nursing him back.
Who also hasn't played?
Connor Joe's played out there.
Pitching wise, Perez. What's going on with Perez? I mean, you know, so I'd like to hear some. Hopefully, we get some clarity on some of that stuff just from, hey, you know, what's going on? These guys, there's not going to be a lot of time to figure this stuff out.
Well, I mean, they already said with Kutch, they're going to take it really slow with him. And I understand
the Perez thing is curious.
Which, Joe Perez or Martin?
Martin.
Martin. Martin, yeah. Perez has not pitched yet. I haven't heard anything about that.
Right.
As far as why he hasn't pitched. So that's something that I find interesting. Bailey Falter, to me, I never saw it. I never understood it. Fans seem to always want to hammer him into that conversation with Ortiz and Contreras and Priester. I don't. He gave up back-to-back home runs today, just in general, didn't look good. I don't know, man. Like, I personally was kind of happy that he gave up a couple home runs, because I don't want the Pirates thinking that he's an option for this. I just don't.
I would agree with you. Kind of like Jackson at the end of last year, you know, when he was getting some starting pitching chances. To me, it's just not something I want to really be messing around with early in the season. I'd prefer not to do it. I don't know that there's ever really been enough there, even as he pitched last year, that I saw that made me think that he was an answer.
I see this all the time too from Wilbert here. Falter is a specialist left bullpen. What makes you think that he's good in the bullpen? He gets hit in the first inning when he pitches. I don't understand why people think the bullpen is going to fix this guy. It's okay to just get rid of a guy.
Well, and the bullpen this year is not where you just dump somebody.
No, especially not when your bullpen is filled.
That's what I'm saying.
Fill it with crap. This,
with this bullpen, it's not just a dumping ground.
No, it's just not. Like, to me, if he doesn't make the rotation, which I don't think he will, I'm not dumping him in my bullpen. I don't need him that bad. Like, I think there's a good shot he clears waivers. Like, I don't see it. I just don't understand what people see here.
You know, Douglas Smith, our buddy, he mentioned Rowdy. I'd sure like to be getting a better look at that.
What would you like to see?
I just want to see how he looks like this spring, because
he just played today.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that I want to see how he looks. Obviously, I can't watch today, and I have my doubts on him anyway, so I'm just looking forward to seeing him play.
I mean, I'll say he's taking walks so far. He's done a good job of taking walks. He is taking a professional at bat.
Which he can do.
Yeah, you know, he played the last couple days, actually. So I don't have a problem with anything I've seen from Rowdy, and I also don't think he's in any danger of not making this team. So
I don't either.
I guess I never expected much from him. So when I'm not seeing him just strike out repeatedly, I'm kind of like, all right, that's better than I thought, right?
He does look to be in better shape. I will say that.
Michael from 412 thinks that you maybe just didn't watch the super awesome video with Rowdy talking for 7 minutes all mic'd up, because that's what made him so awesome, right? Everybody enjoyed that. It was pretty funny. Leiver Peguero is another guy I want to talk about, because he was both of our leader in the clubhouse for second base. I can't sit here and say that anyone has jumped up and stolen it from him, unless they're going to shock the world and give it to Termar. But Termar Johnson looks like the best second baseman right now, period. He won't make it. He shouldn't make it. He'll start in AA, I'm sure, or maybe even Greensboro if they're really dumb. But
yeah,
I just don't necessarily think that Leiver has done anything offensively. Defensively, I think he's looked superior to his counterparts. Bay, to me, still makes no sense at second base. Nick Gonzalez had a good day with the bat today, but you know, a couple singles out of a guy like that is not necessarily what you're looking for either. So
I think by default we're gonna see Peguero, whether it looks awesome or not. Someone's gonna have to take that from him, even though he's a young guy himself.
Yeah. I don't see them jumping over him and Gonzalez to somebody like Chang, but Chang's on the 40 man, so he's officially in this conversation now. You can't just pretend he's not. It's not a pipe dream for him to make the team.
I forget about him. But you can make, look, it's completely wide open. So,
That's kind of probably the most damning thing right there. It's wide open still. You know, a couple weeks into this, we still don't have any kind of clarity there. I don't think anybody's taken the bull by the horns and taking control of that. Now, it's early yet. I'd like to see a lot more from everybody, but Leiver, still my leader in the clubhouse, but let's just say that I could see a path to him losing it. And Jared Triolo, looks like Jared Triolo, man. He's standing up a little straighter. He's changed his stance. I thought that was to do more power, but it looks a lot like it did last year. I don't have a problem with that. He gets on base and he plays good defense. I don't see a world in which Jared Triolo doesn't make this team. We talked about that before too, but it's just going to happen. I don't even want to question it. I don't think he's really in the running for starting at second base though. Some people do. I don't. I think he's in the running for that utility spot. And if that ends up being 4 starts at second base a week, maybe that's how they do it. But yeah,
he's going to be so, look, we've already talked about, there's some unsettledness, you know, at second, first base, you're going to need some starts out of somebody. Outfield, not that he's necessarily in play there, but they've got enough that they don't know exactly what's going to happen, that Triolo is just super valuable as he is. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to just say, nope, you're the starting second baseman, because then it creates other problems.
Yeah. The last guy we have to talk about, I think, on the positive side of things is Mitch Keller. I can't even express how important it is that Mitch Keller looks like Mitch Keller. The pitching, the starting rotation is being, I think, highlighted as far as how scary this could really be. Because we talked about Martin Perez not playing. Marco Gonzalez, who knows what he was working on. For all I know, he was just throwing the baseball. I mean, I don't even know if there was any planning involved there at all. It could have been just getting his arm limber. I don't want to read anything into that.
It's just still my biggest concern for this season, right? I mean, like, starting pitching, man. Like, great. It's great to have some hopes about this guy and that guy, and if this guy works out and maybe he's going to return to form. So it's all well and good, but geez, you got to have some guys that can eat some innings, if nothing else, and nothing will sabotage them quicker this year, at least, than not having enough guys that can do that. So I would tend to agree. Still think it's the biggest concern out of everything. I think their bullpen's going to be pretty darn good. The offense is going to take a step forward. But, man, you better have someone that can take the ball every 4 or 5 days and not embarrass themselves.
Well, here's the natural question that people ask right away when you start talking about that sort of thing. You say, they need all these innings covered. Well, they're watching Jared Jones shove baseballs up people's backsides. They're watching Paul Skeens throw 102 and strike out other number one picks. They're showing Jared Jones look crazy, and just these sliders are all over. Ashcraft looks incredible. We're going to see Solometo here. Like, we saw Solometo today look good, right? So, well, we heard Solometo today. But like you have a lot of guys like that who they're impressive, and I warned about this a couple of weeks ago that you're going to see all these young kids and you're going to think maybe we don't need anything. Well, the reason that you do is because those kids, for the most part, if you look at their pitch counts and how many they've actually thrown, how many innings they've actually thrown, most of these kids are going to be just about dead by, I don't know, August. So, like, Derek Shelton just did a great job the other day of explaining this when he was talking about Quinn Priester. You know, somebody asked him, like, well, what was it like seeing Quinn throw hard again? I think it was Dayon, actually. Asked him, what was it like seeing him throw hard again like that? And Derek's like, well, the Quinn we saw last year was not the Quinn we're seeing. This is the beginning of the year. That was the end of the year. That's a different pitcher. You know, he did a great job explaining that. I actually wish he could have expounded on it a little bit more, because a lot of that gets chalked up to like, oh, Oscar Marin is teaching them to throw slow balls, and he's out there taking their velocity off them, and then he just kick them right in the butt every time they throw the ball fast. They just say, get out that mound. Well, that's not the way it works. These guys are dead by August or July, you know, like when they're minor league pitchers.
Sometimes what you really start to value about starting pitchers is, like, at least I do, is like kind of like the grown men that are kind of like the Ivan Novas of your staff, where, you know what, they're probably not the greatest. They're not terrible, but they're going to go out there and probably give you 5 or 6 innings every time out. Every once in a while, he'll mix in a good start, and it just keeps things moving, right? It just keeps everything moving to where it doesn't start domino snowballing on you in other ways. And those guys, they're a lot harder to come by sometimes than I think people realize. And it's probably why, even like, you know, when you talk about the value of like a JT Brubaker, he's kind of that way too. You need some of those dudes.
So you're finally coming around to loving JT Brubaker now that you can't.
Well, Gary, I don't know, you took all this time
fighting with me, telling me how crazy I was.
I don't know if I love him, but I can see where those guys serve purposes, and you can't ask young dudes to be that.
Yeah, I mean, JT Brubaker is one of those guys that I think, you know, he's going to give you 5-6 innings. It's going to be productive most of the time. You're going to feel like you're in the game when he leaves. And every once in a while, he's going to toss a gem in there. That's a JT Brubaker type. That's an innings eater. That's what we're talking about. That's, to me, a Michael Lorenzen type.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, go get that. It's sitting out there.
This team absolutely
has to have it. Just look at this roster. We're not all just making it up that's the thing that's missing. And Corey here, you know, he says what Mike Burrows and JT Brubaker will hopefully be returned. Hopefully they're both coming off Tommy John. You have no idea how that's going to go. None.
Yeah, none. You just
Burrows could not pitch this whole year. JT Brubaker could start pitching, feel a twinge, and he's out.
Or JT Brubaker could be right on schedule and come out, and when it really starts to matter, it's just not there yet. Like, yeah, he still needs like that full 6 months more to just really start looking like even JT Brubaker was before. It's just, it's too much of an unknown. We talk about unknowns. Tommy John's the biggest unknown in the world. You have no idea how guys are
going. That's the other thing with Brubaker, though. Brubaker was okay. We just talked about it. He was average. Pretty good, you know, as far as eating innings goes. Well, it took him, 3 years to work into that and become that and hone that?
Yeah.
Now he's going to come back from injury. You expect him to jump right back into it and be JT Brubaker he was? I don't.
As a matter of fact, when guys come back from that, I look at like whatever time is left in that season, you might even see some ugly baseball from them. Like they're just going to go out there at some point in time. They just don't have the movement. They don't have the feel. They don't have, you know, the velocity yet that they quite want. It's just not back.
No, this talk got out of control again. Woefully unprepared for this show. Let's take another quick break.
These were concerns.
They were concerns. They were concerns. Let's take another quick break. We come back. Let's do the poll question, huh?
DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Everybody, welcome back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. And you know, the founder of our feast is the ad I just played there, the DK Pittsburgh Sports app. Make sure you do get it, it's free. Good stuff, lots of good work being done there. The feeds, if you complain about Twitter all the time and you get tired of people that complain and just want to be trolls, well, go and follow their feed and you know, you can have a lot of that same experience talking about the sports you're watching in a live environment, and you don't have to deal with the troll aspect of things. You just get to deal with other people that paid to be there. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you can get more with people that are actually interested in discussing things rather than just, you know, the morons that we get on Twitter. So
I actually don't mind getting punched in the face. So, I mean, I just prefer X. I don't mind that at all, but
we like entertaining ourselves at times.
Right. So let's talk about your poll question. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Who would you be most concerned about getting off to a slow start to the regular season, say 6 to 8 weeks? Which most people would you know, probably tell you is a little bit long, right? You know, 6 to 8 weeks is eternity, right, Jim? That's 2 months of the baseball season. They could be in last place hopelessly by then. So you said, tell us why. We'll get this topic and some of your comments on the show. I'll just give the readings too, and then you can do the comments because you got sure. all that bookmarked. O'Neill Cruz won this with 35.2%. Henry Davis, 32.5%. Jack Sawinski, 14.2%. And Ke'Bryan Hayes, 18.1%. Not the way I thought it would go, to be honest with you. As far as concerned, that said, maybe I took it a little bit differently than some of our listeners did, because O'Neill Cruz, to me, I couldn't even put him on this list if I really was like to make this up myself, because I can't be concerned about him starting out slow. He just missed a season, you know? So like, that's where my head instantly went. That said, would it make me more concerned about the overall season? Yeah. So I get it entirely why he would win it too. What did you think from it, brother? What did you vote?
Yeah, listen, O'Neill Cruz to me was not my, I was surprised that he was number one. I look at O'Neill Cruz and I think if there's anybody that I would expect almost to maybe get off to a slow start would be O'Neill Cruz. He has not played. He hasn't seen live, real at-bats in a long, long time now, major league at bats. He's not necessarily the fastest starter in the world anyway, throughout his career. So to me, O'Neill Cruz would be the type, he could start off really slow. And then once it starts, the timing's back and he's just feeling comfortable, then I could see him going on a heater. But at first, a month or two with O'Neill Cruz, he doesn't surprise me that he led it, to be quite honest.
I mean, I voted Henry Davis because to me, a slow start from Henry Davis, I just don't want them toying around with denying him opportunity at all this year. And So to me, a slow start, I don't want to see them slow walk with him at all. I want him to charge into the season and just take this position by the balls. That's all I want.
And it's so vitally important to not only him, but the team with the catching situation is where it is right now. That like, boy, it would just be nice to see. He was my vote, by the way, too.
Yeah. Well, read some comments and stuff, man. Let's see what the fans had to say.
Okay. So, Tyler Hernley, he basically said, I went with Davis mainly for the question mark we have behind the plate. I'm personally of the belief that he will be fine, but until we see it, we just don't know. And fine is not really a problem unless he gets off to a slow start like that with the bat.
I think that's pretty much what I just said. So yeah.
What is funny is, you know, the poll was pretty evenly split. So it tells you that there are a lot of concerns out there. Keith mentioned,
if you had put any pitcher's name on here, it would have been that.
Should do one with pitchers.
Yeah.
Cruz, because a year of lost development means he's going to have to get the rust off. Well, that's why I would say that I'm not worried about it. He's got to get that rust off, Keith, but he was not alone in that assessment. Probably surprised me, and I'll follow this up with a comment kind of along the same lines. For all we hear about Jack Sawinski, Gary, on Twitter from people, and he was last on this list. And I don't know if it's because people just expect this out of Jack, that we've seen this before. So would it matter if we saw it now?
Basically, you expect him to be slow, so you're going to get 30 home runs at some point.
Yeah, like we've seen Jack go 6 weeks without looking like he can play baseball, so maybe it's not a worry. Bucco's fan Dan said, honestly surprised there aren't more Sawinski answers. And he makes a really good point at the end of this. He says he can be so streaky and inconsistent. He'll hit 8 homers in a month and then go a month without one. I think him finding some consistency, especially during the first 2 months, will be key for his year. And I think, to me, that would be – I could probably make an argument for all these guys. My concern with Selinski is if we want him to take that next step, you don't want to be seeing that again, right? Don't want to see those. And right away, if he did it, you'd be like, same old Jack, right? Same old. This is what he is. So I can make an argument there, but he came in last. So
it shocked me that he came in last, if only because out of those 4, that would be my assumption for who everyone would pick as most likely to fail.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So I was a little bit shocked to see, and maybe that's why it wouldn't concern people as much. Because they're
very much how you,
it's baked in. It's
very much how you look at that or how the person is coming from it, which is why I wanted the comments, because I think it does help you kind of see where they're coming from. Now let's get to somebody that I could have made a case for as well, and I thought about it, was Ke'Bryan Hayes. And Hank Paycheck says, key, easy choice. He's got the most at-bats, and the jury is still out on him offensively. And you'd be surprised how many people put easy choice, and they were all different. It was easy choice Jack, easy choice Key, easy choice Cruz. Anyways, I do think it'd be a big relief to see Ke'Bryan Hayes just looking like he did at the end of last year, the second half of the season. Like, that would be a big relief to me. Because, Gary, let's say he does have 6 to 8 weeks looking like the Ke'Bryan Hayes of before. And I know Josh from Bridge to Bucktober is going to be like, yeah, but you got to look at the numbers inside the numbers, and maybe it's all still there. It would still kind of worry me. I want to see it right from the start.
Yeah, I get it. It's a hard one for me because I think Hayes is always going to be at a certain baseline where, like, I'm only ever going to worry so much because he's always going to play that stellar defense. And so then you can always make the case that while you may have to drop him in the lineup, he's still going to produce a little bit here and there, and he's always going to produce that defense. I can't say that for everyone on this list. Like, for instance, if Henry doesn't hit and you're worried about his defense, well, then maybe he's not as... You know what I mean? Right. So, like, he needs to hit in order for me to carry the defense. Well, Hayes is the opposite of that. And if he hits, great. It's a benefit. Everybody loves it. But O'Neal Cruz, for instance, you tolerate the defense for what the bat could be, right? So there's an awful lot there where you only have a couple.
Right. They're very opposite in that regard. And, you know, Henry, I think you could, it's funny. Probably, like I said, make arguments for each of these guys.
Dave White here says, if this question was this time last year, I might have said Reynolds based on his up and down seasons. Reynolds is a good one because Reynolds can get into a funk, man. And you didn't put him on this poll, but I wonder if people would have been concerned about him because he does tend to have those every other season situations where, you know, he's down, he's up, he's down, he's up. What do you think about that?
You know, I didn't put him on here because I think what's funny about Brian Reynolds is no matter kind of what it looks like throughout the season, at the end of it, you look down and you're like, oh, 25 home runs, 80 RBIs. 270 to 280 hitter. Like, it always kind of ends up being that.
Yeah.
He just seems to kind of get there regardless. Henry, I could make the case that, hey, he's young too. He's still figuring it out on offense. shouldn't he be given the same slack that O'Neal Cruz is on that? You know, like, so yeah. it's a tough one. So
I love the poll question though, man. And I love the participation, everybody. That was 500 votes, yeah. I think, for something we just threw up there. Yeah. And really a lot of great comments. I think we had almost 40 that were just, I think, really well thought out too. Like that we didn't even read half of them, but
no, but
it's amazing the depth that people will think of some stuff and the different angles that come out of it. That's why we like doing the poll questions, because they just make you think differently about stuff.
And they tend to surprise us. That's what I really like about them.
Very true. You know what we should do, man? We should do Call Your Shot. Because for the first time in like forever, our Call Your Shot person is actually on the live chat.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
who is it?
It's Wilbert Matthews. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and play our theme. All right. And Call Your Shot is brought to you, as always, by ShopYins.com. And Taylor has a special message he wants me to make sure I get out to everybody here. Next month, he's going to be doing a Pirates-themed giveaway. He's thinking a Pirates jersey or potentially tickets. Really, all you have to do is just make sure that you're following ShopYins on Twitter or Facebook. And for every purchase you make from the website, every dollar is going to equal one entry in this contest. If you spend $75, that's going to be 75 entries for the drawing. He's going to do one here for Sidney Crosby this month. So, you know, not just Pirates. And then next month will be the Pirates. And then I'm sure he'll move on into doing the Steelers or maybe even our Dopey Show at some point if he wants to.
Maybe. And
also, he's going to start giving away $10 gift cards in addition to the discount code that he has been giving for Call Your Shot recipients. So, Wilbert, all you have to do is contact ShopYins and tell them that you're the Call Your Shot guy, and he's going to give you a discount code and a gift card that you can use for purchase of anything there, not just us. Now, let's actually read Wilbert's question, huh? Since I didn't do that yet.
No.
What's the over-under on how many weeks these new uniforms are tolerated before we go back to a non-see-through type jersey? Jim, we haven't talked about this on this show at all. I loved the question, and it made me really happy to get to talk about it a little bit. What do you think of the see-through uniforms? And personally, let me answer the question too. I think it'll go all year. I think that it's well out of the barrel already. That's done.
Yeah, I think I think it is going to be that they're just going to have to deal with it. The first thing I think, and I want everybody to picture this, see-through uniforms, pouring down rain, Rowdy Tellez gets a little wet. Tell me that doesn't get your juices flowing out there. Yes, so think about that visual for a second.
It's frightening. I mean, now I got to say, when I've watched the games though, Jim, and I've seen the pictures on social media of guys like, you know, bending over, you see the athletic supporters and, you know,
or more.
I get that. But like when I'm watching the games, I haven't noticed it at all, like at all. And I think if anything, you know, what's bugged me more, they're not allowed to tailor their pants differently anymore. So like, you know, guys that have traditionally worn really baggy pants, they aren't. And guys that have worn like really tight stirrups aren't, you know, like they have very specific lengths they're allowed to use now.
Well, think about it. You've got everything from the long baggy pants to Carlos Santana going straight up thigh high.
Look at this comment from Jason. See-through pants can't hide that phone in your pants anymore, Castro. I love it. Pop culture references built into baseball talk. That's what it's all about.
You know, like you, when you see the uniforms paired up, like I personally have way more issue with like when you see it next to some of the older uniforms and you see the lettering and the spacing and all that, it does look kind of bad. That to me is the biggest issue. The see-through stuff, from what I understand, it's more like, was it more the shirts were the same and the pants were different or something like that? But I agree with you. I think that, like, man, they've got all this stuff rolled out already. I just can't see them saying, oh, you're upset about it. We're going to, they'll readdress it maybe next year.
I bet they will next year. I think they'll probably give a new contract out next year. And Nike will probably never work with Fanatics again. But, because I mean, man, that's a ding on Nike. They've been putting out good uniforms for a long time, and then all of a sudden, you know, they partner with a new manufacturer, and this is what's happening. That said, these things were all submitted. You know, this stuff was submitted to MLB. You know, MLB saw this and signed off on it. Oh, and if MLB did, you know, the players' union did too. So there's hell to pay. There's somebody that approved this. There's somebody sick. Somebody's going to have the scene from Elf where you walk in and they go, who signed off on this print? And then he goes, oh, you know, the printers are slipping up. And then he goes, is this your signature, Hobbs? You know, well, that's what's going to happen. I mean, now, sign for it.
Weren't these uniforms supposed to be like cooler or more comfortable to wear? Wasn't that part of it?
That is what I heard. Yes.
Now,
very, very cool.
Maybe in July and August, they actually work a lot better and maybe players say, okay. But it's another indication of, like, baseball typically finds a way to screw up even some basic things.
Yeah. And Wilbert says the only reason that he even noticed it is Reynolds mentioned them. This is actually cool, being able to have the person that did call your shot follow up. Like, right.
Yeah.
The only reason that he even noticed it is Reynolds mentioned them. He never complains about anything. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, if Reynolds complains about it, it's probably a pretty big deal. But, it's not going to stop the game. They're going to keep going with it. I think unless we start seeing, like, somebody slides into second and they stand up with a bare ass, you know, I just don't think it, or somebody is standing there and gets, like, you know, full log, like, on camera. I just don't see it happening, man. You know what I mean? Like, I think for the most part, everyone's just going to deal with it. The cameras will pan back a little bit if they have to make sure that you're not seeing anything. You know, what's really going to be dicey is when they do those slow motion replays of somebody, like, sliding into second base and, like, they're doing the zoom in, like, have the glove and
the high def, the 4K.
Did he graze with his glove? And, like, you know, I have a feeling we're going to see something grazed that we don't want to see.
I was just going to say, we're going to see a slow motion grazing of a member that is going to create an out call that is going to have to be replayed. And but the other serious part of this is there are a lot of, like, jersey snobs out there, and, like, they hate this stuff. But I will agree with you that having watched games, I haven't noticed anything. Like, I kind of forget about it. So, good question, Wilbert.
See what I've earned? Jason didn't hit the like button until I said full log. See, congratulations to me. That's why I'm the host, Jim.
You never go full log in your new Nike pants.
I only need one reason to say O'Neal's big. So MLB, don't screw this up. I don't need to see that when he's stealing second base. You understand what I'm saying? Fanatics. But, like, I'm not a jersey guy, so, like, I don't care. I only have one. My kid bought it for me. And I don't wear it. Like, I'm not a jersey guy, and I never have been. I don't have them for hardly anything. That's just not my thing. But if I bought one and it was inferior quality, I think I would know.
I think they're charging like 300 some bucks a pop for them. And I mean, let's be honest. Have you seen the Royals uniforms? They got a big red square Quick Trip. So this is not getting any better, folks. Like, they're going to look like NASCAR drivers out there pretty soon.
Well, I don't care about that, because if that's a new revenue stream that the Pirates can take advantage of, I would be happy if they were already completely covered in them. right now. I don't care if they looked like you were mailing something to Zimbabwe, you know, by the time they got on the field, as long as they could afford players and they actually used the money for it.
People are funny about baseball and messing with uniforms and all that stuff. So,
I hated it with hockey too. You know, I don't like that stupid logo that's on the Penguins helmets, you know? So I just deal with it. It's part of it. It's how they create revenue streams. If you watch European soccer at all, you're desensitized to this by like 1,000 times over. I mean, those jerseys aren't, you can't even tell what team they are half the time. They're so branded. So I don't think that matters at all. As long as if you sell a patch on a jersey, you have to use that money for players, I'm happy with it. I would love if they would do something like that.
Now that would
be legislation.
Yeah, that part I would totally endorse.
Yeah.
I'd be slapping Permane Brothers and, you know, Turner's Iced Teas and Iron City Mango all over the place.
Right. And I would say like the spring training, you know, apparel is usually a little step below the regular season apparel too. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a little bit of a difference between what we're seeing them wear right now and what we'll see them wearing like on opening day. I don't think so. I think what I've seen on MLB Network is that it's the same thing, but
the spring training stuff looks like it's different though. Like in the with the black uniforms to me, but maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyways, man, I think it was a good show. Sorry about being a couple minutes late, everybody, but couldn't be avoided. And I got to get to the airport to pick my wife up. She's on her way home from Philadelphia. So instead of locking her out of the house like I did last time, Jim,
don't do that.
We have to go pick her up.
And tell her if she's been in Philly for any length of time to come in and immediately shower. That's usually necessary.
Oh, yeah. We're actually just going to burn her suitcase outside just in case she caught Philly while she was there, you know.
takes a strong antibiotic to get rid of that.
I mean, if she comes home talking about Gritty positively, I'm done. I don't know what I'll do, you know.
Gritty's all up in her DMs right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So hey, thanks everybody for the participation, and the poll question was great. Next week we're going to try to get another guest on, and then I think the week after that I'll be down in spring training. Jim and I haven't 100% talked about what we're going to do yet as far as goes.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, you can expect me to do some stuff from down there. It may be little videos. It may be I may do a solo one of these or something. You know, when the time strikes me and I've had the right amount of beers. But we'll do something, and I'm going to be down there for that All-Star prospect game that Thursday, and I just can't wait. It's going to be so much fun to see. So I'm going to take a ton of pictures. Hopefully I'm going to take some video. I'll show some of it on here, and I think it'll be cool. So
yeah,
you got anything else? Now's the time, brother.
Let's get out of here.
Sounds good. Let's toss it off to our buddy Ben.
Let's go, Bucks!
Yeah, buddy. Thanks, everybody.